What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
That's my problem. Like, that's just competitive sports. Like, they talk about the game being ruined by NIL. No, you can't bet on games that you're involved in, dog. That's just how it goes. I mean, that ain't nothing. And that was my whole thing. I'll tell you, I know what's going on. But once you get caught, hey, they got me. You know, but this shit they do now, it's crazy. It's crazy the links.
Yeah. And then, like, it's just
nothing matters.
Oh yeah. I mean, they just the court that the local court that they went to, all five of them are Texas Tech alums.
Yeah,
and they granted him his injunction, and then they scheduled the injunction for February 8, 2027. Like, that is the wildest shit, bro. Like, the NCAA has no power, bro. They might as well just say, you know what, y'all got it. Like, y'all just do whatever it is y'all gonna do. Because with that ruling, that shit says a lot. That's a bad look. And it had to be our old AD, fucking Kirby Hokut. That punk. Punk ass.
Is it really him?
It's him. He's the AD.
Kirby Hokut is their AD, bro.
Oh, that's funny.
Man, like, the conferences are gonna have to kind of form their own stuff like, at least Big Ten SEC, that's what's about to happen.
Yeah. When you're taking it to these lengths of, like, it's just turning into, we're going to do whatever we want to do. And, you know, that's what is ruining the game. Like, they talking about NIL. That's just worrying about these young niggas getting rich. That's their issue with that. I need a much bigger flag wave for, and you know, and then we saw these other examples of players who did way less gambling, told on themselves, and was kicked out for the year. It was like, yeah, nah, you done. And they went and self-reported. Like, this guy gets caught up, and then, you know, the NCAA does the right thing. And then now it's like, I'll just go tell my big brother. Like, you know, same thing with Trinidad Chambliss. It's like, yo, nah, you got eligibility. Nah, no, I'm not. I'm going to tell my big brother, like, this shit is out of hand.
But I think the difference, right, obviously, because of that rule, he was D2, right? Yeah. Or however that was, a JUCO. I think he was JUCO and then D or whatever. So it's like, they came up with that rule that you still retain your eligibility, like, as far as, like, how many years that you can be in college football. So that's why I was under the assumption he still had one more year left, and then he can be gone. So I get why they overturned him to let him play this year. But, like, swords we broke, like, you bet on games you played in.
Eligibility or not?
That's what I don't know.
It falls under the same thing that Markel Bell fell like.
He was out of eligibility.
He's right. Out of eligibility. It wasn't no. It doesn't matter what level you play at that point.
It's, yeah, you got
your time's up. Your time's up. And we could.
But I thought Markel had one more year though.
No,
I thought he had
one more year. No,
they didn't.
I thought he had got approved.
No,
nah, he didn't get.
He didn't
get approval. No, if Markel gets.
Okay.
One more year. You got to think about it. For Markel, he comes back one more season. He went what, third round to the Eagles?
Yeah,
he's one more. Yeah, he's probably looking at the first round.
Yeah, he's a
first round.
And he would have made what he's making with the Eagles this year. We probably would have gave him that. Something in that neighborhood. So that would have made the most
sense.
Like, look, play one more year in Miami. Make, you know, we probably shoot him $2-3 million. All right, get that. And then next year, I boost all the way up to the first round. We just didn't go lawyer up on it. You know, because that's just not the, like, that's not the spirit in which things have been.
Yeah, they're not Miami. Done. Miami thing, hey, we gonna add more players. We ain't gonna sit there and try to spend money, you know what I'm saying, on a player that got is out of eligibility.
Well, you know, now, the thing is, they ain't spending no money because it's all backdoor shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no shit. This is all. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got a home, but don't worry about it. We good. I think Miami just not nobody. We not the SEC, yeah. Right? So we not accustomed to being just like, oh, we'll just go this door. We'll just backdoor it. Because every time we try to backdoor everything, oh, they blow the whole system up.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, we want to destroy the whole entire system when we go to backdoor. But, you know, you allow this oil money to come in. And it's just, like, so in our face, you know, like D-Rob mentioned a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
All the judges that granted it was all Texas Tech alumni. The same thing with Chambliss. It was an Ole Miss alumni who granted him that. It's like they're talking about what's bad for the game. What's always bad for any game for me is playing outside of the rules. So they keep talking about NIL, right? But everything that's happening in NIL as of right now is still within bounds. Nobody's going out of the bounds of what they're allowed to do. But when you take somebody that has, you know, like I say, we'll throw Chambliss out the window because that is a different story. I just kind of brought it up to say, you know, it's messed up that you get told no and then you just go get your big brother. But when you talk about what can possibly ruin the game, we can't ignore players gambling on the game. Like,
yeah.
We can't. And then, you know, it's like, oh, he's got a gambling problem. And it's like, okay, so you telling me since he got caught, he done cleared up his gambling problem?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just that quick. He's erased all of that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Cause it's right now it's finna. I mean, just think every game he plays in the back of the opponent head and everybody else head, you still thinking, man, what if this man bet on this game? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What if he make a bad throw that's a bad interception? You looking at it like, oh, he's throwing the game.
You know it was a Big 12 coach.
It's not moral anymore.
Right. Now we're just dipping into it's too easy. And we know these things happen. But the way it's supposed to go is that's anything with me. Bro, you out there selling dope. Hey, man, it's all good till they get you. Once they get you, the rules is rules. And we know this. So it's the same thing. You got caught. We know other people are gambling on games. We have players rigging games for years. This is going to be a part of the game. So my outrage ain't the fact that it's part of the game. It's not new to me. This is very old. The outrage is how are we allowing the people, the perpetrator to get caught and then go, oh yeah, that was different. That don't really count. That don't matter. Just because we can, you know, basically, and the thing is like the injunction, as D-Rob mentioned, is after the season, by the time it be heard. So basically what they're trying to do is let them play the whole season. Now, what can ultimately happen is let's say Texas Tech win it all. Man, yeah, it'll vacate the title. Just like they vacated the title at USC where Reggie Bush was found ineligible. They still won that title, dog. Ain't nobody like USC ain't win it all. And the second place team don't get the trophy, don't get the glory, because they still lost the football game. And that's where you're going to end up being remembered. So even if they were to pull us all off and then you throw an asterisk next to their name, ultimately they still would have won it all. And again, if a player is ineligible, found ineligible from the giddy up, then he just should never be out there competing with the rest of the guys. There was a Big 12 coach. I wish I could find a direct quote. I should have said it at the time. But ultimately he said, oh, well, that just let me know, you know, we'll just decide on look at the spread and decide how hard to go on an opponent if we need to ease up or, you know, if we got to worry about covering the spread. You know, I'm sure he's, you know, obviously being sarcastic, but yeah, he's laying a point out like, yeah, bro, what
I don't
are
think
we
he was
talking
being sarcastic. I think he was being,
it was anonymous. It was anonymous. You're right. So who knows?
I think it was real. Like, I mean, but like I just said, it's now you playing against this team. You said, well, hey, if we win in the game or if they win in the game, now he do something, a bad throw, and we pick it off, and then we're able to score. Now the game is covered. Like, this is the type of football we playing. Like, we not playing the game to win. Let's win the game. Let's have a good moral standard of the game. I mean, it's crazy. I was listening to somebody this morning, and they were saying, like, basically what's happening is they're making the rules while some of the old rules aren't even being implemented. So it's like,
right.
It's just crazy. I mean, he got found gambling. Y'all say it's illegal. Like, why is it even the opportunity of you trying to appeal that he was found guilty? Like, what is we doing?
Yeah. It's all the appeal process. He went through their appeal process. They denied it. Said, no, bro, you got caught. It's done. Go on about the business. Go to the NFL. Go prepare for your next level. And it's not.
Yeah.
Nah.
I guess what I seen something when the judge was saying, or the judge was basically saying, by him not playing is messing up his future earnings. So I'm like,
just bet on the game. Just.
I'm like, listen, like you just said, you out there selling dope and you get caught. The game is a game. So you basically telling me you arresting a dope dealer, he messing up his earnings, his future.
You're right, yes.
Exactly. What are you, like, what are we
doing? Like, how you gonna feed his family? Like, bro, that come with it. It's all about whether or not you get caught. And this is a big issue for me because I find like this is happening way too often in our society. Accountability has gone out the window. Nothing you do really counts if you don't like it. If it don't go your way in the end, that don't count. You know, I kind of liken that to the whole, you know, a lot of people was talking about, you know, some months back in Cool Down Now when you had the Pooh Shiesty and Gucci Mane situation. And I was, oh, well, you know, he used to be like that. Hey, bro, you can't put all of that out there. You can't put all that energy, all of that negativity out there and then never think that you should ever be held accountable for it. If you killed my brother, but now you a preacher, I still can hold that pressure. Like, nah, bro, like, that's good for you now, but you still need to be held accountable. And that's what we don't want. Like, not necessarily us, but I see it as a society is, yeah, but I don't want to be held responsible for that. And I think, to be honest with you, just speaking from my perspective, and, you know, this show is all black men here, we don't get that. We don't get that often in life. It's very rare. And the only time they probably will give it to us is if you can play the ball game for them. If you can hoop, if you can do something of that nature, then they'll pull some strings for you. But that's just using you to their advantage ultimately. But any other avenue out there, we don't get that. So, I mean, it's that much more infuriating to me in that sense.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating because, like, I hate to put the race card on it, but I could guarantee you if there was a black quarterback, he's not getting they gonna say, yeah, you ineligible, man. Go on about your life.
Yeah, I just don't believe there's no precedent for it. I'll say that much. There's been no precedent for it. We've had guys get in trouble in the past. And it wasn't no
I mean oh, Dan that was Ryan different. Got suspended for a whole season because Deion Sanders took him to dinner. It wasn't nobody from the school. It was a guy who was an NFL Pro Hall of Famer took a guy to dinner, and he got suspended for the entire season. They didn't even try to say, well, damn, okay, it was just a dinner. No, they were like, nah, he's suspended.
He
got took in to dinner.
A year. And you know what that was? They don't like this, even back then, right? So it was questions of his character and so on and so forth, right? So when they get a chance to make an example out of one of us, the example going to get made. And that's just, you know, I forgot all about that until I saw you tweet about it. I was like, man, that is insane. People have done more and get suspended a game, two games, three games, a whole season. And what you think that don't mess up his livelihood? Now, luckily, he still was talented enough to go in the first round, but he still might have lost some millions because he might have been a top five pick.
Yeah.
If not for the stain on his name, right? Which, again, you're talking about dinner. You know, if Nick want to go hooting and hollering at the top of his lungs, this is when he need to be the loudest. This is when you want to be the representative of all that is wrong and that needs to be corrected and all that is holy in football. You want to be that man? This is your time to stand up. not all this old and they're making too much money. What about the Olympic sports? Again, I'm gonna tell y'all for the thousandth time. Y'all can don't just believe me. Ask Google. Larry ain't making this shit up. Ask your AI, whatever. The schools are not putting the majority of this NIL money. These sports that fall to the wayside were falling to the wayside before NIL, and they will fall afterwards. And the number one factor on whether or not those sports are going to be able to hang around is if the football program is good, because it generates the revenue. If the football program bad or the basketball program, depending on the school you're talking about, is bad, everything falls to the wayside. So don't let them fool y'all. The average fan, do not let them fool y'all. And also don't be fooled by these numbers. Oh, 40 million. Man, people piss out 40 million and go to sleep the next morning and do it again tomorrow. It's just we don't touch that kind of money. So don't allow that type of mentality to seep in your head and let that hate get in your heart for these young fellas being able to get out here and get some money, man. That's a drop in the bucket to these people. I assure you it is. And you gotta counterbalance it against what the revenue that they help generate. It's just a piece of the pie. Just a piece. Not even the big piece. So I just want to get that piece out before we moved on further. But put Sorsby back on the sideline. I'm so glad we ain't getting him. I'm glad he ain't getting
him. Yeah.
Man, he was on it. He was on top of our list too.
Man, yeah, he was at first, but a character issue.
They must have heard. Huh?
I mean, listen. I don't know what Mario does or who he got around him, but he's pretty good with finding the character issues with a lot of these players, especially from the portal. So,
well, you know, he was training to be on CIA or Secret Service, something like that. Yeah, he might still have it.
Yeah, he definitely got it in him, man.
Man,
what you about some more?
Do y'all know when people say, man, if I had $1 billion, man, what I'd do for my program? That's right. What he's being right now with Cody Kemp. Remember, I ain't like Cody Kemp. He's like, man, what'd he do to you? Like, this is what he did. He just don't give a you know what, man. He just playing by his own rules. And So it's just like, come on, man. Like, the man gambled on football on a team he was on. Like, what are we doing? But it's just like, he thinks as though, like, he just don't care. And he's just like, what y'all going to do about it? And NCAA gonna have to stop because they can't stop nothing.
Yeah, I don't know where the line gets drawn. You know, Cody Campbell doing what he want is one thing, but it turns into a point of, you're right, NCAA just becomes toothless. You know, and there talks of people saying, hey, they're going to boycott Texas Tech. They're going to cancel any games with them. I'd be on board for that. Like, look, man, you got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. Like, it can't just be again, because when it was us, it was never okay. We had to cry out for all them years, man. You know, Al Golden dubbed it the cry. We had to deal with some heavy shit for years, years and years. Now, when it's somebody else's turn, now it's all,
Yeah.
He said he's sorry.
And they got clear, like it's clear evidence, like clear as day.
He ain't denying it.
So it with us, it was like a he say, she say, okay. You know what I'm saying? But it's, that's the crazy part.
Man with the
then, recap, then, what? Then you seen he put the post on IG talking about some always bet on yourself. Like, bitch, you like bro. Like,
no,
like,
they could play in our face. That's the thing. It goes on. That's what drives me nuts about this world today, right? You'd be like, man, they gaslighting me because that's how much they play in your face these days. Our politicians do it, and now you're seeing it right here with athletics because the information now is so widespread, so free. We can, it's nothing really hidden these days. So it's right there for you to know, and they just be like, yeah, what of it? And the fact that the NCAA can't stop this, again, only thing they can do is vacate the wins or whatever, which I do think will ultimately happen.
Yeah, which is going to happen. You know, once they start, the playoff committee come in, they're going to say, hey, well, y'all not welcome in, and that's what is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But, again, it takes away from the other teams that actually got to play Texas Tech because it's like, you okay, now you're playing with an illegal player. This is a real illegal player. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. And every, if you get if you suffer that handicap, you suffer that handicap. That would be like if Darian Mensah got hurt. I mean, can we just be like, can we get Tua Tagovailoa? He still got a year of eligibility left. You know, we need a quarterback, and then we just play the whole season. I mean, I wouldn't call Tua, but you know, I just threw that name out there because I figured he might be available. If anybody available, Tua might could get off the Falcons and come play some games for us.
I mean, that's example. One name I could say, like if Brad Kaya came back, he has his season of eligibility.
Right.
What they gonna say? Oh, he can't play? Like, no, he left. He left as a junior.
Right. And that was the one thing that they've been trying to kind of implement where I was like, I can see some of that, but I wouldn't want to just nail it down to 5 for 5. I would say 6. I think 6 is a little more reasonable because, you know, people go, oh, injuries. I'm like, well, that's also just part of life, too. I mean, some people never made it because they got hurt year after year after year. Like, at some point, like, we lucky because we got Motore, right, who – I mean, the dude just kept getting hurt, and now we got a grown-ass man out there, and, you know, he's a good player. But if you ask me ultimately, do I think he should probably suit up for Miami, I would say no because injury is part of the game. So if you unlucky enough to just keep getting hurt, I hate to, you know, do it to you, but 8 years of football – at the college level, is a little excessive to me.
Extreme.
Yeah, that's out there, bro.
You not even a grown man no more. Now you an elder.
Right. You literally got a mortgage. You know what I mean?
You're an elder, man. You know, now the one thing I will say, I'm gonna say this, and then we can move on, right? I do think at some point, because I was in the space yesterday, and somebody made a perfect point. They were saying at some point. Somebody is going to challenge the 4-year rule. Somebody's going to challenge the 4-year rule where you can stay in college a lot longer. And I was thinking, I was like, damn, that's what's happening now. Like, they are starting to challenge their 4-year rule. Like, once you leave high school, you got 4 years in college to play and be eligible to actually play on the field. Somebody's going to actually challenge that. And we're seeing it happen.
Hey, I thought that they came out with a rule. They came out with a rule that now you have 5 years to play for. So you technically have that fifth year, you know what I'm saying, to play 4 years, where before it was like, you know what I'm saying, 4 to play 4. Now it's 5 to play 4.
You got the fifth. Yeah, you got the fifth year. You got the fifth year. It could be the red shirt year.
I'm about to say, because that's the red shirt. So
the medical red shirt. You know what I'm saying? You got those years, but what I'm saying is now they're saying I played 4 years. I want to play another year.
I want to play five.
Yeah, I want to play 5 years. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go to the NFL.
And what's the point, right?
If they do that, you know what? Just change the red shirt rule. If you're gonna make it 6 games, hey, just make it 6 games. If you play half your team game, you can play up to half your team games. If you don't play past that 6th game, not including a bowl game, then if regular season games. If you play more than 6 regular season games, then you blow that year. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. But if you only play, let's just say you only play those 6 games, but then you have to run the risk in the bowl game of you have a whole bunch of players sitting out. Now you get to still play that bowl game without them killing your eligibility. Because we know that's what's gonna happen. People still gonna be sitting out. You have to play players that you don't necessarily want to play. Because you don't say you want a red shirt. So I think that if they go to, I think that might be the next move. They're going to go from 4 games to 6 games because even when they went to the 4 games, it was like, all right, that's cool. But now it's like, man, with the injuries and then sitting out and then all this other stuff and then, you know, player development and all that, man, it's like you can't, it's hard to keep some of these players on there to play only 4 games, man.
If I'm not mistaken, Larry, you might notice. If I'm not mistaken, in the 90s, wasn't it a certain amount of plays you had to play? It wasn't games back then. I think it was a certain amount of plays, right?
I don't want to lie. We might have to look that one up.
I think it was a certain amount. Because, you know, when my brother went to college, it was a certain amount of plays he had to play. It wasn't games. It was like you had to play like a –
which would kind of make more 40%, sense, honestly. 40%, because if you only go in the game and play two snaps,
yeah, one play,
yeah, that ain't, yeah, that's, like, that's what did that really, yeah. You might have just did a kickoff return at the end of the two games out of garbage time, which I guess they wouldn't hold you back. But kind of to the point you were making, X, and you know, to what you were saying, D-Rod, none of that won't matter though. It, what he's saying is, I just want to play seven. I want to play eight. And don't, so what do a red shirt matter or don't matter? Because the thing is you really always had 6 years to play for, because they'll give you a regular red shirt and a medical red shirt. Most people could get those granted. Now, sometimes they'll, you know, they'll be mean and nasty with the NCAA and not grant that to people for whatever arbitrary reason they decide. But you kind of always had at least a regular red shirt and a medical red shirt you could usually get. But you know, yeah, what he's talking about, it's just gonna be like, I'm not ever gonna make it to the NFL. I can play damn good at the college level, so I'm gonna just keep staying here. You know, and then it'll really be like an NFL team for real, because then it'll just be like, all right, we're gonna cut you now because we got a young guy we think we can pay cheaper that we think gonna outdo you at this point. Like, it really would be just become a semi-pro league at that point.
Yeah, that's basically what it's turning into, because if you're gonna allow these kids to say they could play over the years that is required, I mean, damn, you know, like you said, Torrey, I love him that he's on the team, but come on, man. Yeah. 8 years, like,
that's a long time, brother.
I mean, that you're supposed to be figuring out almost retirement plans at that time.
life happens, you know what I mean? Yeah. For all of us, like, you know, hell, you know better than anybody else. Hey, you on your way, Division I basketball scholarship, life happens. And if it happened to you that way, then you know, you got to pivot. You got to find the next thing in life that's going to help, you know, put food on the table and fulfill your soul, your spirit. But we'll move on, man. This is 26 degrees. That was kind of passionate, so we just jumped right into it. And we kind of crushed for time, so I didn't want to start over. Of course, it's Larry. We got D-Rob here. And X is here, obviously.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we just going to get into it, man. Not a whole bunch going on, but there's some stuff that's happening. We just had Legends Camp, so we're gonna talk about some of the names that know out of Legends Camp. We obviously had the big flip. And then, you know, just something, a trend you see going around with a lot of the players coming out announcing that they're locking down their recruitment and they finish with it. But we'll start with Jaden Bryant. Jaden Bryant made the move. We felt like it.
The big one.
The big fish is in the boat.
Man, hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you, I ain't even gonna get at no energy. I was gonna talk about how now LSU they got KJ Green, and I said, oh well, we got the better player. And I'm like, stop that. Y'all was just crying about
crying.
And now all of a sudden, oh, we good, that's crazy, man. But yeah, no, this was something that I was expecting to happen, especially after the visit, man. Like I told y'all, man, Mario, they went and did a little something special, man, for this kid, man, and it was gonna happen. You know, he sees himself as the next Ruben Bain. You know, you hate to compare players. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah,
he actually is being compared to Ruben Bain. And he's like, well, it's not a bad comparison. You know what I'm saying?
That's hell no. Nah, that's, you know, arguably last year we had the best defensive and best offensive player in football. If you look at Malley and Ruben, like, that's pretty arguable. You know, other people might want to argue otherwise, but if you're just talking about the collegiate level, not their NFL projections, it's kind of hard to name an offensive player better than Malley. And just because, first off, nobody else gets to do everything like him, right? And he did that as a true freshman, everything, from running out of the backfield to throwing it to, you know, the screen game to downfield to everything you could ask, punt return, and excelled at it. And when you look at Ruben, you could be looking at a guy that just could do everything that you could possibly ask a defensive lineman to do at an elite level, including you know, passing, pass rush and run grade. So You know, but the Jaden Bryant thing, I guess we'll talk a little bit. You know, the LSU fans, they got to get their back kicked in. Because, you know, like you said, now you get KJ Green and it's all good. But it's always all good, LSU fans. We, you know, I said this on the timeline. Mario got us beefing with every fan base across the nation.
The entire world.
You got to love it. You got to love it. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
we are not in contention with Florida players. And I'm like, good for y'all little top class. But I trust my coach and his evaluations. And the fact that we ain't in none of the same fights, make of it what you will, but ain't no Florida-Miami battles. I can't think of a single one. So with that.
We had one. Hold on, wait. So we had one on our first commit, or our second commit, Josh Johnson, the D tackle from Key with
Remember,
it was between us and Florida. He was on the Florida visit, and he was like, yeah, I'm about to get ready to commit. He committed to us. Florida thought they had one. And then it's about to be another one, Andre Hippolyte. You know what I'm saying? He visited this weekend. He left Florida, didn't commit, but we already know what it was. So yeah, we're about to go ahead and snag him, too.
Well, by and large, but that's just, know, that used to be more common, though. Right. You're right. Yeah, that's two.
Yeah.
Versus
yeah, that's two.
We beef it with USC.
Yeah, for elite shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we literally beefing with Texas A&M. Like, that's our main.
Right.
Nigga ain't thinking about no Florida, man. Florida, y'all ain't. We don't want nobody on y'all commit list. We beefing with them niggas over there in Texas.
I was like, bro, I'm not even trying to be funny. I've never heard of these kids. The only one that I had heard of was the five-star tackle guard or whatever they got. Was it Hiller? Is that his name?
Hiller. Yeah, Max Hiller.
He's the only one I had heard of. And, you know, that was kind of a layup, seeing like he was always going to go.
And we wasn't even recruiting the kid. We ain't even make it.
It wasn't about Florida. Yeah, it wasn't about Florida. It was more of the offensive line coach, which I say, like, I don't like giving them praise, but, like, That offensive line coach they hired, Trotline, like he's a top 10 offensive line coach, and he did wonders with James Franklin. That's why I was like kind of nervous he was gonna go to Virginia Tech because he was gonna get the offensive line squared away. But I don't think it had really nothing to do with Florida. It was more of the offensive line coach
relationship.
All right, we're giving them too much energy, man.
That's cool.
We don't care about
And a tidbit I saw where the other reason I thought LSU fans, you know, need to just shake some of that tinder off of them. I saw, whether this is real or not, it looked like something where his father had said the contact has slowed between LSU, which wouldn't surprise me considering who their head coach is. That's one reason that class is in the tank right now. It's totally unbecoming and unacceptable to LSU. But if that's the case as well, again, you got nothing to beef about. I know he had a relationship with the coach that y'all hired, but you know, again, man, y'all can't be going out there crashing out because the kid flips to another school. Because when they flip to you, it's all good. And that go for any fan base. Like, bro, please just relax. That, like, all of this loyalty and this, that, and the other, all these Florida State fans lose your mind about softball players. Get a grip. Get a fucking grip. All right, y'all broke, and you can't be mad at nobody going to get some money. Talking about loyalty. Everybody on this line right now is as loyal to the next paycheck. Okay? If somebody got a bag for me, I'm out. This is what it is. If you care enough, you will try to match the offer. But anyways, yeah, that was a tremendous get. Pushed us up. I believe we number three kind of overall all around.
Number three in, I think, 24/7. Number two in Rivals.
Number three, 24/7. Yeah, I don't know ESPN because nobody even counts them no more. Yeah, I don't even know nobody in the composite.
ESPN actually got us number three. I seen it this morning. They got us number three.
They just copying everybody at home.
I seen they ranking. You know, ESPN always is for one. Listen, I've never seen anybody from ESPN at any football camps.
They don't invest. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know how they get their rankings, but whatever.
They didn't even have they were showing their list of top wide receivers. They didn't have Jeremiah Smith as the number one receiver in history.
Yeah, that was dumb.
I'm like, all right, so all credibility is
they only do that because they sponsor like the all-star games. You know what I'm saying? Like the little Under Armour game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like they got it. That's the only reason why they do that. They not invested
they
like
used to. they used to really go out. Like, I remember when I was in high school, ESPN used to really be there. Like, ESPN is there, but I'm saying now they're not there. Well, I guess
They just pulled out resources from it. I guess that's just not something they're doing. They're giving all the money to Pat McAfee. Shout out to Pat Mac. Getting that big bag, they're saying. Saying they're going to pay Pat $60 a year. That's good. 60. God, I'm not. Boy. I ain't mad at him, Jack. I ain't mad at him, man. I said, where's the outrage? But you know what's funny? Yeah. I saw that post. There was a lot of outrage, honey. I said, boy, y'all in some haters for y'all heart, man. That's what I'm mad about everybody else money for. It's the weirdest thing. But anyway, speaking of recruiting.
But you know, hold on. Oh, I was about to say something. So, but you know, he deserved it. And the reason why I say that is because when they did, ESPN did them budget cuts, he basically told them, he was like, hey, don't fire none of my staff. I'll pay them out of pocket. You know what I'm saying? So I can keep my people. So that's how. So he sacrificed. And hey, man, look here. He deserved. He did every bit of that $60 million a year.
Yeah, quit pocket watching. Y'all get up out of there. Quit hating. Just try to go get your own, man. It's not gonna get you no money hating on the next man. I promise you, it won't. It's just not. It's not in the cards for you. And again, I go to show you the kind of money that's really out there. I tell you one thing people don't understand. If you never realize, I try to encourage people to understand it. Your job ain't giving you no charity, man. You provide them a service and they provide you some money. It's not like that. So if ESPN say he getting $60 million, you think they losing money? I guarantee you they not. That's just not
how this works. Doubling that, tripling that.
That's easy money in the bank. And you know, you just got to account for inflation. The numbers are going up. But back to just recruiting in general. So something I noticed over the last couple of days, probably the biggest one, which I don't think there was a lot of worry about it. I know Texas A&M was, you know, trying to sniff around and didn't quite come to fruition for them. Nick Lanier shut down his recruitment. Gordine did. Jalen Jones. Several guys did. And,
Blaine X.
Basically.
Oh, Blaine
X.
Blaine X. Hey, man. The game is the game.
And it's going to
be. They say it's on site when they see you, man. How you doing like that?
It's on site. It's on site, man. Listen, the game is the game, man. I ain't gonna speak on it, but the game is the game.
Appreciate you.
Just appreciate you.
Like, nice doing business with you.
Ain't nothing new. It ain't nothing new because that's been since this all started.
It's been going down like that since the beginning, and it wasn't intentional. I mean, like,
no, the thing is, it's never gonna be
intentional.
There's no guarantees in this world. There's none. So you know, I tell people all the time, if it wouldn't be called gambling if you knew you was gonna win every time. It'd be called putting some money in so you get some money out. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So every time you invest in a stock or you know, pay for any investment you make, period, there's no guarantee of return. That's kind of why it's, you know, you're taking high risk to hopefully get a high gain. But these guys in general, you know, I saw a little buzz and people like, oh, what, that don't mean nothing. We've seen this before, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, nah, I beg to differ, because in the Mario Cristobal era, he's created what we've been begging for so long and for years is a culture where who has flipped away from us? I can't think of a name.
The only one they could probably name, it'd be Kamani. Kamani McClain.
Drake Kamani Stubbs.
Kamani all over the place.
Yeah, Stubbs.
2-1 went to Florida. They're going to show you something about where they mind at. Shout out Kamani. Yeah. He's looking a lot better now, man. I hope you go out there and get his money.
But you're right.
But by and large, we keep these classes, especially considering where it used to be. That's what I think. We used to be a springboard a lot of times for these kids to get that offer. Get their visibility up, so they'll go ahead and commit to Miami, use us to be like, oh, Miami want them? Hold on. Maybe we missed this kid. And then they'd be like, all right, thank you, Miami. I'm up out of here. I'm going to go to Michigan. I'm going to go to Ohio State. I'm going to go to Bama, whatever the case may be. I only bring it up just to say it's a real testament to the culture shift that Mario Cristobal has brought about to this program where it these guys really and truly, we say this all the time, we just want players that want to be Canes. They just want to be Canes. He put something in his pitch, something in the water where, like, it's now cool. Even though we hear about this, you know, we still struggling, quote unquote, struggling to some extent in South Florida. Nationally, is blowing up that much more to where we're going out west and getting the number one player in California. And then the other thing you see with these kids that also is a reflection of the culture is there's a lot of recruiting amongst the whole class, not just, you know, you had like a 1-2 kind of guy. Like, remember we had DJ Dallas, you know, and DJ Dallas had his pom-poms in there. He was going hard. Now it's like, man, this whole class, you just look around and they all on that, you know, come ride with us, Izzy Abrams, you know, it's like he probably our chief recruiter, which you want to see at quarterback.
But you know, Larry, I wouldn't say we struggling in South Florida because we got what, 5 or 6 South Florida kids.
Yeah, that's why I say quote unquote. Only because people are gonna look
get,
at
we them. Just didn't get the number one kid.
Right. That, and that's what they're gonna point to. That's what I mean. They're gonna point to that.
I think we had a discussion before, like when I was saying how much important would it be to either get Matthews or Lick Nanaire, like which one was the most important one? The most important one was the one we've been screaming about since Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy in them days. Like, we can't get the top receiver. We finally got the top receiver, not only in South Florida, but probably in the entire nation.
Yeah, and that's a room that I think does continue to need to beef up. I think we've done well. I think we got a lot of nice young receivers in the room right now, but you got to keep it going. And I think this was, you know, because this will be a small wide receiver class, right? We're probably taking two, maybe three.
Three if you get the top guy.
But yeah.
It's going to be two. You know, Moonshot Sanders just found out today he's not taking the visit to Miami. So I guess we got to go ahead and kick his name to the curve.
No, Moonshot.
He's another one.
I hadn't heard too much about him at all lately. At one point, I heard Indiana was kind of back in the lead.
Indiana not in the lead right now.
Is Bama still?
Yeah, I think it's still Bama. But he got visits to Bama, Texas, Indiana, I think Ohio State, somebody else. So
he ain't gonna come to Miami, man. You might as well go to Ohio State. That's their little thing. Wide receiver, you. I ain't mad at you. You ain't from down here, so going back to business. We get the number one receiver this year, an electric guy in that. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up just to speak to the culture of things that's going on. And then also in the same breath, you circle right back. We just had Legends Camp.
Yeah, Legends Camp.
And, you know, you had guys back on campus like Jaden Bryant. He doubled right back. I don't know if he went home. But
yeah, we were supposed to have a surprise visit. And even now, there's no reports of saying he came or he didn't come. I got a report that he did. Then I got a report that he wasn't there. So I don't know.
Hard week in the hide.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
you got official and you got Legends Camp.
But you just said Mario was working with CIA or Secret Service. So you know how to hire somebody.
As far as the weekend, it's probably a hard weekend to hide. But like, shit, what? We had an Oregon kid on campus for like 3 days and nobody knew he was on campus. I mean, it wasn't like weekend, but we had the cornerback we flipped.
Yeah.
He was on campus for like 2 days. Nobody knew.
I'll be honest with you. I don't put it past him. If Jacobs came through, you know, there was some noise made that he removed his Ohio State stuff. So
he still got to remove. But he does visit Ohio State this weekend. You know, so the two names I'ma just say before we speak about the legends, you know, Caden Henderson and DJ Jacobs, those are the two big fish, probably the biggest fish in the world right now. I mean, in America. And I both I'm both ready to say we get both of those guys. Katie Henderson, he just visited Texas A&M this past weekend, didn't commit. We know Texas A&M was trying to get him to commit. He says he's going to continue taking his visits. I just think Miami.
He still got Notre Dame left, right?
Yeah. He still got Notre Dame left. I just think Miami just knocked it out the ballpark with him. Like another Jaden Bryant incident. And DJ Jacobs already, you know, even when he committed to Ohio State that day, I just knew, yeah, it's not going to stick. It's not going to last. So now it's beginning to get more and more truthful because the plan with Jaden Bryant. Oh yeah, man, we could be the next Bane and Mesidor.
Yeah, come on, I know that's all.
We could be the next Bane and Mesidor. You know what I'm saying? And then one thing they are talking about too, man. And I love the confidence of a lot of these kids. They are actually saying we can actually go in and play right away. Not even worrying about what's on the field or the team already. They just saying, well, we go play. And I'm like, You want that confidence. You don't want, oh, yeah, I'm going to just go there and wait my turn. They saying, nah, I'm finna go in there and play or challenge.
Right. You know, and that's how it's supposed to be. The key is if you don't quite make it, you don't tell and run. And I think that's what we've seen as well. Like, I think our portal exits have been pretty strong as well. You know, the guys that left, I honestly think it was for their best interest as well. When you just look at like a JoJo, I think JoJo still could be an NFL receiver. I just think some things went a little left here, and I think a new home is going to be great for him. And, you know, he got to reunite with his old quarterback. CJ Bailey's a good quarterback, a guy we pursued ourselves. Or, you know, at least a little bit, keep the ties on, see if we could pursue. And, you know, but for the most part, I think it was kind of mutually beneficial. Wherein is, hey, we're going to free up a spot, but, you know, you're going to be great. I think this still works out for these guys. So, done a good job there. And, you know, the other thing with Jacobs, I forget where I heard it from. It's slipping my mind. I usually like to give credit. But I heard that Mark Richt is his godfather. And
Mark Richt, our coach Mark Richt?
Yeah. I forget where I heard that at. Man, because I always like to give credit where credit due. I forget I heard that. It was like a podcast clip. I can't remember which one I heard it from. But yeah, apparently that's his godfather. So I'm like, oh, man, come on. Come on, man.
It's a no-brainer.
No brainer. And he was already going to commit to us. You know what I'm saying? Your godfather coach for us, man. He went to school here. Come on, baby. Just bring it on home. I think it's happening pretty soon. I think there's a lot of pressure on the kid. Yeah, I get that. I think he want to at least go do this visit, which I respect. But I think I'm with you, X. I think we get it done. And the Kaden Henderson, I got more confidence than I did have maybe, let's say, 2-3 weeks ago. I wasn't necessarily thinking he was still that interested, but it seems like that's a situation that's looking good. But Legends Camp went down, and, you know, that's more future guys. You don't really get the guys of the same class anymore. If they're there, they usually just kind of checking out the facilities, you know, hanging around the team, whatever, you know, maybe trying to network somewhat or whatever, but it's not for working out. But, you know, obviously you get the Legends come in town. And, you know, Mario changed this thing up so much, like where it's. Remember, we used to get, like, the whole roster of who was coming, who was going to show up. The only person I know going to be there now is Michael Irvin. Outside of that, well,
no,
I
it's,
know.
No, it's two guaranteed every year. It's Michael Irvin and his
McKinney?
Marley, but the Marley.
Rohan,
Marley.
Rohan, Marley, and Michael Irvin going to always be there.
Every year. They always pulling up it.
Yeah, every year.
Yeah, and, you know, McKinney still stay down there, right?
Yeah, McKinney's still down here.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he was there this year. I don't have a full roster, but more important than that, because that's the thing, like, we getting spoiled now. This is just something we expect. And, you know, the brotherhood is so strong there that that's what happens. They just pull up and support their alma mater. And, you know, Mario got it electrified even more to where now it's like, man, we can actually, like, win some big-time football games like we used to. But the focus then is your guys that are going to be in your next cycles and your, you know, your sophomores and juniors. Right. Yeah. Even maybe even some 30. So a couple of names, I guess, we're just going to highlight. So you have the, was it Asher or Asher? Giotto.
Oh yeah, Asher Giotto. Number one D. He was in
three. Yeah, it was talk about him reclassing, but it looked like they're not gonna go that route. Think he gonna enjoy his senior year. He got Jacksonville Bulls. Yeah, this kid huge. I saw him working out with
JT.
Jason Taylor. Yeah, man. This kid a whole unit, bro. This dude. He kind of, it's funny, he reminds you of Max Crosby, which, you know, it's funny because they both kind of like got the ginger and the tattoos. And
Long arms.
I'm like, damn, he do remind you of that just in the visuals. So he came down, worked out, had a good time. Now, he's a guy that I remember reading an article, and he was saying he wore 34 for Herschel Walker, and he got Georgia stuff all in his room. But I haven't heard Georgia associated as high as one might have thought. I thought this visit went well, this camp went well for him. And I kind of think we're in his top three, if not top five right now. What would you say?
I think we in his top one.
No, I think we're in the lead spot right now.
I think we're in his top one. But, yeah, you know, definitely top three. Listen, the working out, I think he was just kind of mesmerized for working out with Jason Taylor. And that seems to be the theme, to be honest. Like, these kids be really mesmerized that Jason Taylor is coaching. I don't know.
It's hard to whoop, man.
Yeah, it's hard to not like.
It's hard to beat, bro. Like, and he just put two guys in first. You know?
Yeesh. And you just see what he just said. He say, man, Bane, I'm coming for your record. Like,
right. You know, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
You gotta always keep in mind, like, man. To play at the same university that the guy I'm trying to break his record, and to play at the university where you got a Hall of Fame D-line coach, they just put guys in the first round, and it looks like they'll put possibly another two in the first round.
Hell, I seen three on somebody's. They had OJ.
OJ, Damian, and Moten.
Who's the other one?
OJ, Damian Wilson, and Moten.
Moten. I was blanking on the first name.
Overall, it was good. He definitely stood out. I mean, he's definitely the best player at that camp.
Now, the other kid from Arizona, I didn't see him work out, but this boy, it's too, he got a frame on him too. Dude's shoulders is huge.
He's big too.
George out of Arizona.
Yeah.
He's big. Jelani George or something like that.
Jelani George.
Yeah.
He's another big one. Big.
Yeah, you talking about you, man.
Didn't really see him work out that much. I know he got over there with the D line when they went to the other side. I was across the field. So I didn't really see a lot from there, but yeah, he's a big man. They had some big guys there, like, it was one kid, I guess he's going to the 10th, and he looked like he was already 6'5", 320.
Yeesh.
And I was like, man, what, like, you know, he just looked the part, you know what I'm saying? Still, I mean, you know, but you could tell he's young.
You right.
In the face, right. You could tell he's young in his face.
But just the bill, physical bill.
You like, dang, he only going to the 10th, like. Yeah, man, jump all over that. Yeah.
What's the if you know, just off the top of your head, like what's kind of the head count? Because I know it's a pretty exclusive camp. Like, is there a round number?
Man, like usually, I'm gonna say, man, it probably got close to almost. I'm gonna have to say three pushing four, man, because it's not just the 9th, 10th, 11th graders. They had some 7th to 8th graders out there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So they
bring you got to get ahead of the game so much, especially with the calendar. The calendar got you squeezed to, you got to take every advantage of every opportunity. So that does make a lot of sense to jump ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of kid, but that's why they have the legends there. They have a whole lot of the legends there. Then the coaches, then the players, the current players, they'll help out too. So it's like, they have enough. They have enough.
They still getting that individual.
Yeah, they still getting it. Yeah. So and the thing is, like I said, normally when we go, they normally keep us inside. You know what I'm saying? But they was outside. Right? I was like, oh, they ain't going outside. Yeah, it's because it's a lot of players.
Right. A couple of names, just a few names want to highlight that was participants that just names where I'm assuming the interest is mutual. Guys that we get an early jump on. So the first name is Titan McNeil, 6'5", 210 tight end out of Washington. He's number one player, Washington, number one tight end in the nation.
Yeah. Yeah, he's big. He's like that. He looks like one of those future tight end you Miami Hurricanes. I like him. Like him a lot.
Think we high on this board early on as well?
It's kind of hard to read. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get to speak with him. But he's – I know Coach – I seen Coach Fields around him. You know what I'm saying? So I know Coach Fields is going to do a great job recruiting him. We'll see, though. We'll see. But
he didn't work out last time we went to Washington. Well, they came and they left. They came and they left. Good players, but they came and they left. Another one out of Jacksonville Bowl.
Well, hold on. I think he's originally from Miami. From South Florida, though.
From okay. I know that wide receiver from Utah.
No. Okay, yeah. It's not him then. It's the wide receiver from Utah. My bad.
Utah. Would you buy PG Rock?
No. I'm about to say, the wide receiver from Utah. Yeah, he's from South Florida.
It's the right receiver.
We number one.
Yeah, he's a big kid. 201 is, I believe, how you say his last name. Yeah, it's like he's a big receiver, too. So if you guys, I know you might be thinking you're hearing that 201, so he's probably got, Samoan, Pacific Islander roots. But this kid, like 6'2". This is more your big receiver. More, a little bit more like framed up like Puka. Like Puka Nacua. So you won't be looking at kind of the smaller, shiftier guy. I saw him make a play where he jumped up and high pointed, plugged it, two hands, looked real smooth getting up to it. And I saw him running a few routes out there as well. He ain't like a blazer, but he's got that. He's like kind of a long strider with good hands. So,
man,
you can't teach that frame.
What was the white receiver that used to play for Denver back in the days?
Ed McCaffrey
just catch everything.
Yeah,
he's probably more athletic, Ed McCaffrey, because his hands touch the ball, they go on, he catching it. So
yeah, McCaffrey wasn't no joke. Son ain't bad either.
What?
C-Mac. Speaking of a white running back, when X gave it his name, which I'd heard his name previously, because we've been talking about him for a while. I told the old lady, I said, man, I always wanted a badass white running back on my team. I got one 49ers. I just think it's fun because you don't get to see him as much. But another name to know, Xander Edwards out of Bowles, Jacksonville Bowles, number, 17 player in Florida, number 7 running back, 117 nationally right now, 4-star kid, composite kid. We've been working Jacksonville Bowls pretty well, too, so I know the relationship is there. Where you think he kind of ranks on their early board for running backs?
He's definitely top. He's definitely a top 3 on their board right now, as of right now. They liked him when he was there working out, man. He was putting on the show. And that was the thing, because everybody was like, oh, that's a white running back. Hold on. we don't normally do this.
You don't see that often, man. So it's cool. That's what it is. He big too. At 6'2", 215. So you're talking about a big back too.
Some comparisons. He's white, so they want to compare him to Tony Gerhardt. And I'm like,
hell no.
I don't want to do that. Tony Gerhardt wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? No, but. Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, yeah, he was damn near a fullback.
Yeah.
Damn near.
Yeah, Toby Gerhart. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a bad boy at Stanford, though. He got his numbers, at least, numbers wise.
Yeah, you know, he looked good. So, yeah, that's a guy that Miami definitely going to keep on. Then he plays with, at what's his name?
Knox Adams. Knox plays for
Bose.
Who's that?
Asher, he's at Bose, too. So they both.
Okay, yeah. Knox played for
Mandarin.
Mandarin, yeah.
Is it Mandarin? Yeah.
All right. Then another name, local kid, Chaminade Madonna, Tremont Isaac Jr.
Oh yeah, he liked that. That's another
yes sir.
South Florida receiver you can't let go. You know, he liked that. He definitely liked that, man. When you talk about you got Mally 1 year, and then the next year you get Nick, and you could possibly get this kid. Yeah.
You project on he's listed 5'11", 170. You think this is like another Mally guy, kind of guy, slot dude?
As of now, but he could play outside. You know, he could play outside. Definitely play outside. You just gotta look at Dawson's offense. You know what I'm saying? You know, he caters more to the slot. You see the type of receivers he keep getting.
Right. He got Tate Dell drafted.
Yeah,
so. You know, that's a position you like to work out of. So that's another name to keep an eye on. We're going to wrap up. Got two more to drop for you real quick. Antonio Wilcher, I believe how to say that, out of Miami Southbridge.
Yeah.
6'2 and a half, 315. So you're looking at interior defensive lineman.
D-tackle.
D-tackle. So he's a composite 3-435 nationally. So that tells me we're doing a good job evaluating with a guy like this, getting ahead of the game for the next part.
Listen, he's always been good. He's always been the top dog. He played on that Frank Gore team, Little League team that ended up, you know what I'm saying, beating the Ravens that year. Ravens
had some hoopers on that team, man.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, boy, got pros on that team.
Yeah.
That's crazy to recognize them kids that early, man. Like, damn, this boy gonna be pros. That's crazy.
Yeah, but now he gonna be a good one, man. He keeps getting better. He's at Southridge. You know, I don't even know if they got that new coach. If they did, then yeah. But yeah, he's, you know, something that Miami's, they on him heavy right now. So,
no doubt. And the last name, Nigel Thigpen, another local kid out of Miramar, 6'5 and a half, 260. So you're talking about like an athletic tackle build.
Another big, tall, gonna be a tall offensive tackle guy. Still raw. You know what I'm saying? He got the footwork though. I think with him, it's going to have to be his strength in his hands.
Okay. So yeah, because he right now he's 260. Program. So, right, as he continues to, you know, age, getting the strength and conditioning, you can fill that frame out to, you know, a 300. But, you know, you got to think about it. He still got a whole two more seasons of football.
Yeah, two more seasons. Yeah.
And then, so he ain't even, you know, by the time he gets to college.
He ain't even hit the weight room.
Right, in a serious way just yet. Right. So just some names to keep an eye on that came out of the camp. You know, Mario been laying his groundwork. Y'all seen all these pictures of Malachi when he was 2 years old, and Mario holding him in the cradle and all kinds of shit. You know, it's like you got to give credit. And Mark Rick, man, salute Mark for doing a lot of the groundwork in the community too to help mend some fences. So that's all we got for you guys tonight or today, whenever you listen to it. Sometimes I forget I ain't live. And we'll be back with you very soon. Peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.